come to share with you this morning.
Amen. Amen. Hey, can we give it up for Pastor Joe? Can we make some noise for him? I think that any pastor that has a 23-year-old come preach for their church has to have a little bit craziness on the inside of them. But I'm grateful that he's a little bit crazy this morning. Amen. Hey, I wanna go ahead and get started. I wanna tell you just real quick about me. My name is Ethan. And I have been doing this for about a year. And I told the teenagers this last night, but in my life, this weird thing is happening. All these people, all of my friends and family, they keep doing this thing. I don't understand why, but they're like starting to get married all of a sudden. Kind of weird. I don't understand why, but they're all doing it. Me and my siblings had a pact, and two of my siblings just broke it within the past year. They've gotten married. And so my sister got married last year. And I want to tell you, like, a story about when that happened. When she got married, she had me and my older brother perform the ceremony for the wedding. The problem is, me and my older brother have never performed a wedding before. And so we were talking about it, and then about a month before, and I was like, Hayden, we should probably talk about, you know, what we're going to say at the wedding. He's like, yeah, we should. And then about a week before, we had that same conversation. Then the night before, we had that same conversation. What should we talk about during the wedding? And then we woke up that morning and put a plan together about what we're going to say during the ceremony of my sister's wedding. And no lie, I don't know how this happened, but at one point during the ceremony, my brother starts talking. In the middle of, like, everyone is there, this, you know, all friends and family, he starts talking about Donald Trump in the middle of the ceremony. I don't know how that related to the unity of a family, but he starts talking about it, so that just kind of happened. But during this time, I did some research about weddings because I was trying to think of something that I can say. I've never done this before about weddings. And so I did some research, and I found something interesting that I want to share with you today. I researched about weddings that happened in the first century or in the biblical times. And so then if you're during Jesus' days, this is how a wedding would take place. I'm going to do a little bit of teaching. Stay with me, then I'll apply it. But if somebody wanted to get married, if a man wanted to marry a woman, he would go to his father and say, hey, dad, there's this girl. Okay, I got a crush on her. I think she's the one. I want to marry her. The groom's father would then go to the bride's father, and he would offer a price for permission for the son to marry the daughter. It was not it wasn't like an arranged marriage. It wasn't like that. You were paying for permission for the son to ask. So they would agree on the price. Say it's like 50 camels. The groom's father would give 50 camels to the bride's father, and then the proposal would happen. This would happen when the groom would go in front of both families, his family and the bride's family, he would pass her a cup of wine. If the bride wanted to say yes, she would drink the cup of wine. If she wanted to say no, she would just pass the cup right back to him, and the groom's father would be like, bro, you wasted me 50 camels. Really bad day for the guy. And so let's just say that the bride accepted, she took the drink, and then what would happen at that point is the groom would go back to his homeland. They most likely live in different towns, and he would spend the next foreseeable amount of time preparing a place for he and his bride to live. The problem is they never saw each other during this time. So listen, my sister got married about a year ago. I sat in one meeting of my mom and my sister preparing for the wedding. And I told my mom, I will never sit in another meeting like this again. I didn't even say anything, but I was stressed out. I mean, just watching them talk about all the different details. So I know that weddings can be very stressful. So imagine you're a bride preparing for his wedding, but the problem is you have not seen your groom at all. And the truth is this, you also do not know when the wedding is going to happen. Like, I mean, it's just like you're just planning for a wedding, and at any moment in time, the only person that knows when the wedding's going to happen is the groom's father. So I can imagine, like, the groom was not allowed to marry his bride until his house was ready. So I imagine the conversation is like this. The groom's like, dad, hey, I finished the house. Can you come look at it? And the groom's father walks into the house, and he says, dude, you call this a couch? This is a stump on the road, you know. Like, he walks over to that. This is a window. You got to fix the window. You got to fix the door. And nobody knows when the wedding is going to happen except for the groom's father. So, for communication reasons, you know, like when you were in like fourth grade and you had a crush on a girl and you would send your best friend like, hey, bro, go talk to her. Go see if she likes me. And your best friend would go ask her a question, come back. And he would be like the real life text messenger between you and your crush. So the groom would do the exact same thing. He would send his best man, his brother, a cousin, a friend, and he would literally travel back and forth and communicate between the bride and the groom. A real-life text messenger is what this best man was. Finally, the day would come where the groom's father would say, okay, the house is ready, go get your bride. And then the groom, would take his whole wedding party, all of his groomsmen, and they would go into the town. And if it was in the middle of the night, it was in the middle of the night. He would walk in, and his groomsmen would start playing these trumpets really loudly, and everybody would pay attention, and they'd get the whole town involved. And right then and there, the wedding would take place. Are you still with me? Okay, that's a lot of teaching. So now let me tell you how that applies to you and I today. See, 2,000 years ago, there was a price that was paid for you and I. It was the blood of Jesus. And then our Savior Jesus passed a cup of wine to the disciples, and the disciples took the wine, accepting to be the bride of Christ. But the problem is Jesus had to go and prepare a place for you and I. And we have not seen him in 2,000 years. My goodness, I'm stumbling this morning. 2,000 years, he's been at the right hand of the Father preparing a place for you and I today. And the truth is this, nobody knows when the day is going to come except for the Father. And in the meantime, the Jesus, he sent his best man, also known as the Holy Spirit, to be a real-life text messenger between you and I today. And can I tell you, one day, the Father's going to look at the Son. He says, all right, my son, today's the day. And then Jesus Christ is going to come, and like a thief in the middle of the night, he's going to come. He's going to bring us. He's not coming alone. He's bringing his groomsmen with him. And the angels will start playing them trumpets. And right then and there, we're going to be reunited with our Savior in heaven, and it's going to be a party like no other party has ever happened before. I don't know about you, but I can't wait until that day. Until then, it's like I'm like the bride. I'm like the little girl that's just sitting at the window saying, oh, it's today that I'm getting giddy. I don't know. It's today the day. You know, an old head pastor tell me one time and asked me, he said, Ethan, how come your generation doesn't preach the second coming? I got a little bit offended by that. I can't wait. I'm sitting by the window waiting for the day that Jesus Christ comes back to take you and I to be with him today. But while we're waiting, I want to talk about the best man. I want to talk about the Holy Spirit today. If you have your Bibles with you, we're going to be in John chapter 14, verse 26. If you don't mind, would you stand for the reading of God's word? John chapter 14, verse 26. I don't think I have it on the screen. That's on me. I'm going to tell you this. This verse, I'm not reading it out of a normal version. I'm reading it out of the Amplified version, meaning it's like a bunch of versions of the Bible kind of combined to make one. And you'll understand what I mean as I read it. John chapter 14, verse 26, it says this. But the helper, open the parentheses, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, close parentheses, the Holy Spirit. So do you see how all those words are replaceable and they define the Holy Spirit? I'll say it one more time. But the helper, open parentheses, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, close parentheses, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name and my place to represent me and act on my behalf, he will teach you all things, and he will help you remember everything that I have told you. The title of this message today is this, Empowered by the Spirit. Empowered by the Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, would you come and have your way in this place? Holy Spirit, come and take over this service like you already have. Just continue to do what you have done already. Father, I'm not asking for a spiritual high. I'm not asking for a feel-good message on a Sunday morning that we can check our box. God, I'm asking for the transformational, supernatural power of God that only comes from heaven to come and to interrupt our lives this morning in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Give somebody a high five as you are sitting down. So we want to kind of go through these different adjectives to describe the Holy Spirit this morning. The first one being the Holy Spirit is called the helper. The Holy Spirit being called the helper. The problem is we have this tool in our toolbox of the Holy Spirit. And for some reason, very little do we actually utilize the help that we have from the Holy Spirit. It's almost like this. It's like, do you need help raising kids? Can I tell you the best piece of advice I know how to give? I'm a single guy, no kids. But I'm just willing to bet if you ask the Holy Spirit to help you, he's willing to help you. Are you having a tough time studying for a test? Can I tell you, many times I have taken a test without studying and prayed the prayer, God, I know I did not study. But if you can somehow supernaturally give me the wisdom to pass this test, sometimes he answered the prayer, sometimes he didn't. But I just know I'd rather be the guy that asked for help than the guy who does not ask for help. The Holy Spirit has been sent to help you. James chapter 4 verse 2 says, you have not because you ask not. Sometimes the most powerful thing we can do is just say, Holy Spirit, can you help us? I had a friend tell me one time when I was in college. He said, "Ethan, this is going to sound bad, but hear me out." He said, "I don't really want to focus on my relationship with God." And I was like, "Dude, that is like a terrible thing to say. I don't know how, like, this, what in the world?" He's like, "No, just go with me, just go with me." And he began to tell me, he was like, "No, like, if I focus on my relationship with God, I'm afraid that every other area of my life will diminish." And he began to explain it to me. And I was like, "That sounds like crazy." But he's like, "No, no, if all I do is like pray and read the Bible, I'm afraid I won't hang out with friends as much and my social life will go down. And then my girlfriend will get mad at me. If all I do is, and then maybe if I study the Word of God, I may not study my homework as much and my grades will begin to go down." And I was like, "Dude, you're stupid." But I'm trying to, I didn't say that to him. But I was like, "Dude, like, in every other area of your life, that can be a true statement. Yes, if all you do is work and become a workaholic, your family and your social life may begin to diminish. If all you do is hang out with friends, you're right, you're probably going to fail your classes. But when it comes to your relationship with the Holy Spirit, when you spend time with Him, He begins to infiltrate every other area of your life. All of a sudden, when you're spending time with the Lord, you love your family more. All of a sudden, when you're spending time with the Lord, you're inspired and motivated to do your work more. And for some reason, when you allow the Holy Spirit to infiltrate every other part of your life, He has come simply to help you." Everybody say, "The helper." Now everybody say, "The comforter." Philippians chapter 4 says this, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The truth is this. There are people in this room, and you find yourself in a situation or in a season where you're suffering. Find yourself in a season, and maybe you've suffered loss, maybe it's grief, maybe somebody hurts you, maybe somebody stabbed you in the back, but the truth is this, there are people in this room who find yourself in a season of suffering. Sometimes the most powerful thing the Holy Spirit is, the most powerful thing that He can do is just to come and comfort you. I had a mentor tell me one time, he told me part of his testimony, and he and his wife were trying to get pregnant for many years. They've been married for 7-8 years, and they had tried everything to get pregnant. Finally, I don't know what they did. It wasn't natural, but they went to the doctor, and they finally found a way for them to get pregnant. And they got pregnant after 8 years of trying. And about halfway through the pregnancy, they had some complications. And the doctor began to tell them, like, I don't know if the baby's going to live for more than just a few hours. And I remember during this time, my mentor did everything 100% completely the right way. I mean, I called him one time, and he was building a crib for his baby because he just knew by faith that this baby was going to be alive and healthy. And they did everything. They prayed the right prayers. It kind of blew up on social media, on Facebook a little bit. There are people across the country praying for his baby. They just knew by faith that this baby was going to be born and be born healthy. The day came, and his wife gave birth, and they had baby Judah for about an hour and a half before baby Judah passed away in the mother's arms. And my mentor, he told me this one time. He said during this time, he didn't want to feel better. Like, he told me, how insensitive would I be if I just woke up tomorrow morning and I was all good again? And there's no more grief, there's no more sorrow. I just woke up in the morning and he said, no, I'm hurting and I want to hurt. I'm hurting and I don't want to get up. I want to stay down. And this is the advice that was told to him that I want to give to you today. He was talking to somebody about this, and this is the advice that was given to him. Many times in life, we find ourselves in that hole. We find ourselves in that moment of depression, of anxiety, of suffering, of grief. You can put whatever word you want to put on it. Many times we find ourselves in a season where we're in a hole. And what everybody else in the world is going to do, including your closest friends, will come to you and tell you how to get out of the hole. Okay, Ethan, you're in this hole. If you can put your left hand here and grab that rock and pull yourself up to that root, and maybe you can pull yourself out of the hole. And the people that are closest to you, they'll go sacrifice their own time. They'll go grab a ladder or a rope and do something to help you get out of the hole that you find yourself in. But what the Holy Spirit does that's just different than everybody else is when you find yourself in your suffering and you find yourself in your anger and your frustration, whatever the word is, the Holy Spirit comes and He gets down in the hole with you. And in your suffering, and in your grief, He's just there to be with you. I told this story to a youth pastor friend of mine, and he got emotional. He began to tell me that was exactly his story, that he and his wife were trying to get pregnant, and they gave birth to a child who only lived for a few hours. he told me that he was driving down the road one day, and he was just by himself, and he was mad at God. And he said, "Ethan, I probably can't repeat to you the things that I said to God in that car. It was honestly really shameful." But one of the last things he said was, he was driving down the road and he yelled, "God, I had to watch my wife hold her dying child, and there was absolutely nothing that I could do about it." As soon as he said that, he said he looked up, and in the middle of a highway, there was a giant white cross in the middle of the road. And he said, the Holy Spirit told him this, "I know how you feel." The Father said, "I know how you feel." Can I tell you, I don't know what suffering you've been going through. I don't know what kind of anger or frustration, but I just want you to understand the Holy Spirit and the Lord recognizes and can resonate with the pain that you have. God the Father understood what it was like to watch his dying son and him able to do something about it, but choosing to not do anything about it. Whatever you're going through, the Holy Spirit understands, and he has been sent to comfort you. Everybody say the helper. Say the comforter. Now say the advocate. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Now, one thing you gotta know about me is that I'm a big-time basketball fan. I love all sports, but basketball, it was my first love. I love talking, watching, playing basketball. I have an older brother and a younger brother. It's like, 85% of our conversations and our personalities is basketball, okay? That's a little bit dramatic, but we love basketball. Now, don't think that I'm weird when I say this, but one of my favorite things about really any sport in general, but especially basketball, is I love it when a fight breaks out, okay? Listen, just the other day, me and my brother were in the kitchen. We were kind of making some food, and we had a game on in the background, and while the game was on in the background, a fight broke out. And without conversation, without speaking to each other, we immediately dropped what we were doing and walked over and stood by the TV and just did this right here, just to watch. We wanted to see. It's just so much fun. I'm not a psychopath, I promise you, okay? But I just really enjoy when a fight breaks out. And so I watched the clip. Oh, and the best ones are when, like, someone's defending a teammate. That's, like, the best, like, that's, like, you know, motivational, I guess. I love it. So I remember about it, I was watching a clip of these two NBA basketball players. And it was a podcast, and one of them was talking about a teammate that he had. It was Patrick Beverley and Austin Reeves. These two guys both have Arkansas in their background, so I like both of them. And Patrick Beverley is known for, like, a really, like, dirty player. Like, he, like, fouls hard, he talks a lot of trash. He's kind of one of those kind of players. And so Patrick Beverley is teammates with Austin Reeves. And so what happens is Austin Reeves drives into the basket. He goes to shoot, and a guy on the other team fouls him really hard, knocks him to the ground. And in the clip, you can see Patrick Beverley from across the court sprints, and the guy that hit his teammate, Austin Reeves, he lowers a shoulder and runs the guy over and, like, stands above him, and a whole fight breaks out. And I'm watching it, and I'm loving every second of what's happening right now, It's awesome. It's awesome. And in the clip that I watched, something crazy happened. So Patrick Beverley, he gets, like, fined, like, thousands of dollars. He gets suspended for, like, the next 5 or 10 games. And it's this whole thing breaks out. But I love it because Patrick Beverley was defending his teammate. Anyways, we move on. The next season, what happens is Patrick Beverley signs with a new team. So he's not playing. He's not teammates with Austin Reeves anymore. He doesn't play for the Lakers. Now he's playing for the Chicago Bulls. And so now the Bulls and the Lakers are playing against each other, and Patrick Beverley is guarding Austin Reeves. Now remember, this is the same guy that last year he got in trouble for defending. He ran him over. He ran a guy over for him. Like, he got fined. He missed a few games for him. He was defending his teammates. Now they're going against each other. And Austin Reeves scores on Patrick Beverley. And when he scores on him, he does this right here. I'll come up here. When he scores on his former teammate, he does this right here. And this is, like, basketball, like, if you don't know anything, this is, like, the most disrespectful thing. This is, like, you're too little, you're not strong enough, like, I'm better than you, you should retire, go home. Like, this is, like, the most disrespectful trash talk. It's basically saying you're too little. And so Austin Reeves scores on Patrick Beverley and does the you're too little celebration on him. And from that point on, in the clip that I watched, Patrick Beverley says, from that point on, I did not care about winning or losing that game. He said, I did not care how many points I scored. The only thing he cared about was making sure that Austin Reeves does not score another point on him the rest of the game. And again, this is the same guy that he was defending just a year ago. And now this is the same guy. He doesn't care about winning or losing the game. He's going to focus on this guy. This is my hashtag quote of the sermon, okay? We're going to put this on Twitter. This is it right here, okay? Hashtag, the Holy Spirit is not Patrick Beverley. He's not going to have your back today and then forget about you next season. He's not going to forget about you tomorrow. The same guy that had your back yesterday, he's got your back tomorrow. And if he that is with you, who can be against you? So knowing the Holy Spirit has my back is the most comforting thing. All of a sudden, when you do me dirty, it doesn't even matter. Because I know who's got my back. When you hurt me, I don't even have to care. I don't have to defend myself. Because I know that there's one who's fighting for me who is greater than anyone else in this world. The Holy Spirit has been sent to fight for you. He is your advocate. All right, from the top, you ready? Say the helper, the advocate, the comforter, the advocate, and then say the intercessor. Romans chapter 8, verse 26, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Many times I found myself in the presence of God, and I didn't know what to pray. And I didn't know what to say. And honestly, just words begin to flow out of my mouth that aren't even English. And I just begin to pray, but I know it's the Holy Spirit interceding through me to the Father. What I want us to do this, I think it's very important that we follow the example of the Holy Spirit. I truly believe that it is one of the most important things that followers of Jesus can do is pray. I think that prayer absolutely changes things. I think that we should pray for our family members. I think that we should spend devoted time praying for our pastors, praying for our leaders, praying for the leaders of our country, praying for our coworkers, praying for our teachers and for our students. I think it's very important that we spend time in prayer because I just truly believe that prayer works. I remember when I was in college, and I led a small group, about 10, 11 guys, and we just kind of would meet together once a week, and we kind of do something fun. We'd play ball. We'd do something fun. Then we would just have, like, a little Bible study together. And this is really more than just, like, a weekly group. This is really, like, you know, my best friends. I still talk to them to this day, you know, really close-knit group of guys. You know, we went to all the games together, did intramural sports together, you know, got lunch together. This was just, like, you know, my boys. And I remember as I was leading this small group, like, there are many times I find myself getting really, really frustrated with some of these dudes. And, you know, if you're living life with somebody, it's very common to get really frustrated with the people around you. Don't look at the person next to you. It's just one of those things. Sometimes when you're living life with somebody, they can get really frustrating. And I remember one time, like, Bennett would do this thing where, like, and I love Bennett, but Bennett was, you know, he played ball with us, and he was the biggest ball hog I've ever seen in my time. Every time he touched the ball, he was going to shoot it. But the problem was he wasn't good enough to do that. Like, if you're really good, you can shoot it whenever you want to. Bennett's not. And I remember Aiden was the guy. We were playing an intramural football game one time. We were losing by like 30 points. So the game's over, and I look over, and he's talking trash to the other team. He's about to get, he's like the little short guy who just talks a lot. And I was like, Aiden, stop talking. Like, we're losing. We have no right to talk. And I remember there's a guy named Brendan, and Brendan was the most stubborn. And once he made his mind about something, there was absolutely no changing. It was so frustrating because everyone else would go do something, and he would be the one to say, no, I'm not doing it, because he was being stubborn. And so I found myself, as I'm leading the small group, many times I'm finding myself, again, the guys that are closest to me are getting on my everlasting nerve. And then I would find myself getting convicted, and I would begin to spend time praying for them. And as I begin to pray for them, all of a sudden, my heart towards them began to change as well. All of a sudden, it's just basketball. Who cares if Bennett shoots a lot? And honestly, it was kind of funny looking back when Aiden was talking trash to a bunch of guys when you're losing by 35 points. And I remember, I respect Brendan even more because once he makes up his mind, he sticks to it. He isn't like, I respect him. All of a sudden, my heart towards these guys, as I would spend time praying for them, would begin to change. Maybe if you're here and you're frustrated with somebody, maybe the best thing for you to do is just spend time praying for them. All right. Are you ready from the top? All right, here we go. The helper, the comforter, the advocate, the intercessor, the counselor. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, this is talking about Jesus. It says, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. The same Spirit that gave Jesus his wisdom, the same Spirit that was a counsel to Jesus, is the same Spirit that you and I have access to today. Do you need advice? Is there a situation that you don't really know what to do? Can I tell you the Holy Spirit will act as a counselor? I'm only 23 years old, and so I recognize that I have a lot to learn in life. But in my 23 years, I have learned one thing to be true. I have learned that wherever there's people, there is typically drama. Wherever there's people, there's typically drama. And so I remember, like, I know, like, in the family, there's drama. In the workplace environment, there's drama. In schools, with college students, there's drama. Wherever there's people are, even in the church, I know it doesn't happen here, but even in the church, a lot of times, there's typically problems. There's typically drama. And the Holy Spirit acts as a counselor. Every situation that we may find ourselves in, the Holy Spirit can teach us how to respond, how to handle every circumstance, how to deal with people's emotions, how to deal with your own feelings. The Holy Spirit has been sent to counsel us. Please don't forget to ask the Holy Spirit for help in counseling. All right, from the top, here we go, last one. Repeat after me. Say the helper, the comforter, the advocate, the intercessor, the counselor, and finally we have the strengthener. If you haven't listened to anything that I've said, this is, in my opinion, the most important part of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. The Holy Spirit empowers us to witness to others. I think it's like this, when in this verse, this is Jesus talking to the disciples. It's one of his last instructions before he ascends back into heaven. And he says, go into Judea, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the other most parts of the earth and witness about me. The problem is, on their own, it's just really hard to do that. That's why the Lord has sent the Holy Spirit to empower us to witness to people. Jesus is saying, go into Jerusalem, which is like your own house. Go into your own home and witness about me. Then go to Judea, which is like the brother's house. So go to your house, your brother's house. And then Samaria, which is like the enemy's house. And while you're at it, go to the uttermost parts of the earth and witness about me. How do we do so? By the strengthening of the Holy Spirit. I think there's nobody else in the Bible that represents the power the Holy Spirit can give than a man by the name of Peter. Now, I want to tell you a story. This is the relationship that I imagine Jesus and Peter have together, okay? Because, like, everywhere that's Jesus, like, Peter's right there with, like, the number two, the right-hand man, the best friend, Jesus and Peter, like, A1 since day one. And so this is the relationship that I imagine they had. I had a friend walk up to me my freshman year of college, okay? And I say friend, I do love him, and we honestly got really close, but at this point in time, I had been to college for like 2 or 3 weeks, so I was just getting to know everybody. So he walks up to me in front of a group of people, and he did this thing. Every time he wanted to be weird, he would like squint his eyes. And so he walked up to me one day, again, known him for like maybe 3 weeks, okay? He walks up to me, he's like, Ethan, I love you, bro. Okay, like just like that. And there's people around, so I was like, I kind of like try blowing him off. Like, okay, yeah, it's cool, I love you too, dude. He's like, no, Ethan, I love you. And now you can tell he's trying to get, like, people's attention. Like, he's trying to get, like, you know, like, everyone to circle around us and see what's happening. And so, again, I try blowing him up. For the third time, he says, no, Ethan, I love you, bro. And by this point, people have noticed. And so I was like, all right, cool, man. What do you want me to say? And he was like, ask me how much I love you. And I was like, I'm not going to do that. I'm good. It's all right. You know, I try walking away, but he, like, grabs my arm and, like, pulls me back. No, Ethan, ask me how much I love you. By this point, everyone's noticing, and so I'm like, I'm stuck here, right? And so, like, all right, Justin, how much do you love me? And he said, if you had a crush on a girl. And I was like, stop. I know where it's going. Stop right there. He's like, no. If you had a crush on a girl, I'd kidnap her. And at this point, I was like, dude, what is wrong with you, man? Like, again, everyone's noticing. There's no escaping this moment. He's like, no, I kidnap her, and I lock her in my basement. And at this point, I literally begin to beg him, dude, please stop talking, okay? Please, I don't know you that well, like, please just stop. He's like, no, just go with me. You're like this. I kidnap her, lock her in my basement, and I tie her up. I was like, this dude's a psychopath, you know? Like, this is, what did I sign myself up for when I decided to go to college, you know? And so then he's like, I'd lock her up, and then I would let you break into my basement, and you and I would have a full-on WWE fight right there in front of her. And I was like, why? He's like, I'll just go with me. He's like, honestly, Ethan, I gotta be honest with you. I gotta break your arm. I was like, no, you don't. None of this has to happen at all. Like, you can just go tell I'm a cool guy. That's all you gotta do. He's like, no. Break your arm, but you're gonna end up, you know, beating me up, and now you're gonna knock me out, and then you're gonna get the girl, and you're gonna rescue the girl, and you're gonna get the girl. And I was like, and you're going to prison for the next 50 years, you know? And all these people around me, and then I say that, and you'll be in prison for the next 50 years, and he says, I love you, bro. Okay, just like that, okay? So I say that to say, this is Jesus and Peter, right? Like, Peter's like, bro, I got you, whatever you need. Like, dudes start attacking Jesus. Peter starts cutting dudes ear off. He's like, I'm just A1 since day one. We ride or die, Jesus. I got you back. That's Jesus and Peter. But if you know the story, you know that Jesus gets taken And at first Peter defends him, but then Peter begins to follow at a distance. And he begins to watch what happens to Jesus. He begins to watch Jesus get beat. He begins to watch Jesus, you know, be put in chains. And all of a sudden, the popularity of following Jesus is no longer a thing. The cool factor, the swag that you get when you're, the social points that you're getting from following Jesus is no longer a thing. He begins to follow a distance, and this little girl walks over to him and is like, hey, and ask a very simple question. That's your boy, right? Y'all been, aren't you his disciple? You've been A1 since day one. Like, everywhere he is, you're right there with him. Like, you have his back. That's your boy. And Peter's like, nah, I don't know who that dude is. Another person walks up to him asking the same question. That's your boy. Aren't you his disciple? Peter's, no, once again, no, I don't know him. Third time, someone comes and asks Peter, isn't that your guy? And this time, Peter gets mad, begins to cuss him out. I don't know him. Stop asking me. I don't know this guy. And you know the story of the rooster crows, and Jesus turns back and he looks at Peter, and Peter recognizes that he just denied knowing Jesus three times. Peter takes off running. I'll fast forward the story. Jesus dies. He's raised again, and then he goes. Jesus and Peter have this really cool reconciliation moment, and then Jesus ascends into heaven and tells Peter and the disciples to go into the upper room and wait on the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes, and Peter is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And the same guy that was just denied knowing Jesus, the same guy that was a coward, that was hiding, is the same guy that stood and preached in front of 3,000 people. And 3,000 people gave their life to Jesus that day. And Peter becomes the first pastor of the first church. And for centuries, to this day, he has helped design what the church ought to look like. All because he was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to talk real fast, if I can have music being played or whatever we typically do. I say we, this is my first service here, but I want to talk real fast about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. A lot of times we talk about it and people kind of get weirded out by it and kind of think it to be this weird thing when it's honestly just a biblical thing that we have access to. It is what it sounds like. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's just a gift that all we have to do is just receive. The way you do is you just do what the disciples were doing in the upper room. They were devoted to one another and they were devoted to the Lord. And they would just find themselves seeking the face of Jesus. They find them just seeking the Lord. And what happens is the power of the Holy Spirit comes and you can feel it on the inside of you. Now, it's kind of a weird feeling to describe. The people that, like, wrote the Bible, the way they defined this feeling was they said, out of the belly flows rivers of living water. Now, to an untrained ear, I guess, is the term. Like, that sounds weird. Out of the belly flowing rivers of living water. That doesn't really make sense. But those who've experienced the power of the Holy Spirit know that's the perfect way to define the feeling. So here in a few moments, I'm just going to challenge you. If you've never received this gift, or if it's been more than 5 days since you've utilized this gift, I'm going to ask you to come to the front. And as you get to the front, you're just going to spend time in worship. It's going to glorify Jesus. The Holy Spirit is attracted to Jesus. So if you're worshiping Jesus, the Holy Spirit wants to come and be a part of that. And as you're worshiping Him, you're going to feel that feeling. And these words are going to come to your mind that are English, and you don't have to, like, the Holy Spirit's not going to come and take over your tongue and start moving. No. The words that you hear in your head, you just say them out loud. Maybe a syllable, maybe a whole language, you just begin to say it out loud. And all the speaking in tongues is just the evidence. Sometimes we emphasize, you have to be speaking tongues. But I want to clarify, the purpose of the Holy Spirit is not to speak in tongues. The purpose is to receive power to witness. Speaking in tongues is just what happens naturally when you're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. So I want to do this. I'm going to pray. And then we'll begin a transition. Heavenly Father, would you begin to come and do what only you can do? Come and have your way in this place. Holy Spirit, come and move in a mighty way that only you can do. Not by might or by power, but by the Spirit of God, says the Lord Almighty. In Jesus' name, you can keep your heads bowed and eyes closed for me. I've got two questions today. With all heads bowed and eyes closed, number one, if you've never received this gift of the Holy Spirit, and you've never spoken another language, and you've never received a spirit empowerment from the Lord, and you want to. Or secondly, it's been more than 5 days since you've had access to this gift and you've utilized yourself in this gift. If that's you, would you slip your hand up for me real fast? You've never received the gift of the Holy Spirit and you want to receive it. Or it's been more than 5 days since you received it. Yeah. Put your hands down. Second question is this. You have access to the gift of the Holy Spirit. But you find yourself in need of one of the other names of the Holy Spirit. You just need to be re-strengthened. You need the Comforter. you need somebody to come fight for you in a situation that's just kind of hard to explain, but you just know that you need Jesus and the Holy Spirit to come and fight for you. You need the help with this situation where you just need one of the names of the Holy Spirit. If that's you, would you slip your hand up for me real fast? Yeah. Yeah. Put your hands down. I'm going to, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray one more time. As soon as I say amen, I'm going to ask everyone in the room if you're able to stand up. And I'm going to ask everyone in the room to just begin to make your way to the front. I'm asking everybody to come. And let's just spend some time worshiping Jesus together. If you raised your hand to one of those two questions, or if you didn't raise your hand, I want to ask you, you're going to come down with everybody else, and you didn't raise your hand, but you know that you should have. As soon as you get, just begin to seek him. And I just believe that God's going to move in a mighty and powerful way. Again, I want to pray, as soon as I say amen, would everybody come to the front if you're able to, and let's just spend some time in prayer and worship as we transition to this morning. Heavenly Father, come and do what only you can do. Have your way in this place. Father, our hearts are set on one thing. Our hearts are set on you, Jesus, to praising and glorifying you. And God, we're just believing that we're going to have a moment like heaven where we're going to experience the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit to come and do what only you can do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you begin to move? I know we have more people that can fit in the front, so if you need to step aside in the aisles, that's okay too. But just come find a place and let's just spend some time in prayer. Just spend some time asking for help, asking for comfort. Just spend some time seeking the Lord this morning together. Hallelujah. Father, come and do what only you can do in this place. Come and have your way. Our hearts are set on you. Father, refill us with the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, refill us with the strengthening of the Holy Spirit. Father, for those who need comfort, would you just come and be a comforter? Oh, Father, I know that we need help as well, but God, would you just come and comfort us? Would you come and help us, Father? Oh, for those in situations that are tough times, would you come and help us, Father? Come and do what only you can do in this place, Father. Would you come and fight for us? Father, would you come and do what only you can do? Not by might or by power, the Spirit of God, our hearts are set on you. We glorify and worship the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus said that this house should be a house of prayer. So if you're in the room, and I'm not asking if your life's falling apart, I'm just asking if you just need prayer, and you want the people of the church, you want your fellow believers just to pray for you for a little bit of time. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up for me real fast? We want to gather around you. We just want to pray for you. It doesn't matter. Maybe you need a physical healing. Maybe you just need to be strengthened. If you just need prayer, would you slip your hand up real fast? Yeah. You see somebody with their hand raised. We have a few around the room. Would you just begin to gather around them? Let's just begin to pray for them.
Just thank you. We thank you for what you're doing in this house, Lord. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit, and we thank you for being our advocate and our counselor, our strength in us. Lord, we thank you for those things. And Lord, I just pray that you just continue to move in this house. Continue to move in this house. We just thank you. We praise you. We thank you. We praise you. We're going to receive an offering, but instead of passing the bags, Kendon and Zach are going to stand at the doors as you exit. All the offering will go to our speaker today, and I encourage you to come back tonight. Come back tonight and support him. Be here. Lord, we just thank you for each and every person. Lord, I pray that you just touch them as they leave this place. Lord, I pray that you just bring them back here safely. In your name we pray. Amen. We'll see you tonight at 6 o'clock.